Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore. Jake Barnett is taking the week off. He got called into work. We had a little scheduling problem. I have wrestling tonight. We couldn't quite get it worked out, so I am flying solo this week. But normally I am joined by Jake Barnett every Saturday as we review the WWE SmackDown show that's on every Friday night. It's not the only audio we produce each week here on the site, though. Jake and Will Pruitt get together every Wednesday for the .NET Countdown, where they look at the best and the worst in professional wrestling each week, as well as Will Pruitt's TNA Impact Wrestling Review on Fridays, Jason Powell's WWE Raw Review on Monday nights, Jason's Q&A audio on Fridays, where members can ask both wrestling and non-wrestling questions, and of course the .NET Weekly Flagship Show. We do that every Thursday. Jason Powell and I get together. We talk about all the news of the week, often break news that's not made its way to the site. Of course, we spent a lot of time this week talking about the Jack Swagger incident. So if you want to listen to what Jason and I thought about that, what the ramifications might be going forward, what we think Vince is going to do, what WWE could possibly do, what options they would have storyline-wise, should they choose to do something, then all you got to do is become a .NET member. Simply head on over to ProWrestling.net, click on the right-hand side of the page there where it says .NET member sign up, and we will get you started for as little as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. And it's a good time to be a .NET member, folks. It is WrestleMania time. We are just 6 weeks away from WrestleMania, and lots of good stuff going on. I'm sure there'll be lots of breaking news that members will get to see first, plus all of our complete audio breakdowns of the shows between now and then. And, of course, the Sunday night show when WrestleMania happens. Jason Powell and I will be breaking down that show. The last couple of years we've been joined by a third party, so we might be able to do that again this year. Things are still up in the air, still making plans for that. But it's a good time to sign up to be a .NET member. So go take care of that real fast. Just put me on pause. I'll wait. Don't worry. I'm still waiting. Go ahead and click. And, all right, good. Now that you're a member, let's move forward from here. Let's talk about this show. It was the February 22nd edition of SmackDown. It was taped on the 19th in Biloxi, Mississippi. And, of course, very quickly, just to recap, the news of that night wasn't so much the spoilers that we got from Biloxi. It was the news from the Biloxi police that they had arrested Jack Swagger on DUI, marijuana charges, and speeding, which I'm sure the speeding wasn't necessarily an arrest, but it was added to the charges that were there. We've learned since then that the DUI was, in fact, what I've called a technical DUI, where it appears that he was caught smoking pot, or at least there was reason to believe that pot had been consumed in the car, and that's an automatic DUI as opposed to like failing a breathalyzer or something like that. It was just marijuana-based. All of it was. And, you know, there's been some question about what WWE is going to do. I think from recent videos that they've put out, and if you haven't had a chance to see the one that's on the site right now where Dutch Mantel and Jack Swagger break, or Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger break character, give their shoot names, their real shoot names. In fact, Zeb Coulter, Dutch Mantel, as most people know him by, even goes so far as to tell his name's Wayne Cowan. And they also give Alberto Del Rio's real name in the middle of that video as well. But if you haven't seen the one where they address Glenn Beck, that came out, that was posted by WWE well after the events of Tuesday night with Jack Swagger's arrest. I think it makes it very clear at this point they have no intent to derail his push. They're going to go forward. There may be something after WrestleMania. Who knows? But it looks like, you know, this ship has sailed for WrestleMania. This is what they're going to do, unless he does something incredibly stupid again. I don't think this is going to upset things between now and April. What happens after April 9th is April 9th, whatever day WrestleMania is, you know, what happens after that, all bets are off. But it looks like WrestleMania is on go. But definitely check out that video. I thought it was well done. I thought Dutch did a good job of making points about, you know, this is entertainment and not politics. It's not, you know, there's some social commentary, but, you know, why is the conservative press not being upset about when a liberal character is portrayed, or a character is a bad character, detestable character, because of his liberal tendencies, or liberal stereotypes might be a better word than tendencies. Why isn't that character, you know, why aren't you guys out screaming bad about that character? Well, because they're ideologically different. And it's that sort of hypocrisy that kind of drives me crazy, too. But I'm getting off on a political rant here. I promised I wouldn't do that. So let's get back to the wrestling. So, but that, you know, just wanted to point out Jack Swagger's arrest, recap that for those who might have been living under a rock for a while. And it looks like things are going forward. And this show, you know, certainly was taped before he was arrested. I was wondering whether there would be any difference here if they had decided to do something with him. They didn't decide to do anything between now and Mania, or at least, like I said, it certainly looks that way. So no changes to this show, and Swagger looked very good in this show. They put him over big, had a great match with Randy Orton. We'll talk about here in a minute, and it was a good show for him, and overall a pretty good SmackDown. They had three really good matches on here that got good time. They didn't really do a whole lot, but all six guys that were in those matches did very well, looked very good. I thought all six guys looked strong at different points in their matches, and the guys that lost didn't necessarily lose anything. For different reasons, I think, you know, some in how they lost, and in Damian Sandow's case, because Sheamus is kind of, you know, flat and treading water right now. He's not a big deal at this point. So I thought it was a really good and effective show, but not really very newsworthy. Much like Raw, very much a kind of a treading water sort of week. And I do appreciate the fact that WWE kind of admits that they're having a treading water show by giving us three really good wrestling matches. At least on SmackDown, when they do this, they're almost always, sometimes you're just like, you know, snoring it so bad. But a lot of times with SmackDown, they will at least say, okay, here's a bone for you guys. We're not going to do a whole lot of storytelling here. Do a little bit just to kind of keep things in, you know, so it doesn't come to a stop, but it's as slow forward motion as we can go. But in return, we'll give you some really great matches from it. And that's what we got here, three really good matches, a Divas match that was better than average, and then a disappointing match with Miz and Cody Rhodes. But we'll talk about all of those. We'll start at the top of the show, again, taped on the 19th of February in Biloxi, Mississippi. I am following along with Jake's report here. I did see the show Saturday morning, had PWX Wrestling Friday night. And if you're hearing this Saturday afternoon, we have PWX again tonight, so be sure to check that out on highspots.tv. But we opened up, we get the narrating opening video, we talked about the results of Elimination Chamber, it focused on Jack Swagger and, of course, Zeb Coulter, and then it went on to put over the WWE title, the new one being introduced by The Rock, and Cena putting his WrestleMania opportunity on the line next week on Raw against CM Punk. Jason Powell, of course, will have an audio review of that show afterwards, but it's only for members, so make sure you sign up. Lenny Garcia handed things over to Ricardo Rodriguez to open the show. Ricardo introduced Alberto Del Rio, who came out and a pretty good pop from the Biloxi crowd. I have no idea. I don't necessarily care about racial makeup, if you will, of a crowd. But it's been something because Del Rio's early run seemed to be very strategically, and I think smartly so, strategically placed in areas that had a higher Latino population. And now we're getting away from that, I think. You know, there's been some places where it's like, oh, no, I don't believe there's a big population there. But we have a pretty big population here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I don't necessarily think that a lot of people would realize that. So I'm not sure with Biloxi, but he got a pretty good pop nonetheless, came to the ring, and I thought cut a pretty good promo for Del Rio. Some of his things could be rambling at times. This one was really well done. He said that, Swagger believes that he is what's right with America and Del Rio is what's wrong with America. He talked about Swagger and Coulter blaming immigrants for taking jobs and opportunities from people like them, you know, taking away that opportunity from real Americans. Del Rio said that America was built on the back of hardworking immigrants who were chasing the American dream, and that he was World Heavyweight Champion. He was one of those people because he was World Heavyweight Champion because of the opportunities that were afforded to him in America. He said that Swagger and Coulter talk about people who want a handout. He said he wanted Swagger to come to the ring and he'd be happy to put his hand out all over his face. Kind of a bad line, just poorly worded sort of thing. But other than that, really good promo from him. I like the way he set it up, and they show good emotion here. It was a little bit different range for Del Rio, I thought. The angry babyface. We haven't seen a lot of that. He's been mostly the joking babyface with Big Show, but this was kind of the angry babyface. I liked it. Randy Orton's music hit instead. He certainly got a good pop from the Biloxi crowd. He came to the ring and kind of paced for a minute, started to say a couple of words, stopped for a Randy chant, and used that to kind of sell being frustrated, unable to say anything or find the words. He said at the chamber something was taken from him by Jack Swagger. He said he didn't begrudge him completely. You know, part of him respects Swagger because, you know, he would have done the exact same thing that Swagger did. But an even bigger part of him wants to take his aggression out on Swagger tonight. He said, you know, I'm asking you, Del Rio, to step aside for a night so I can get my hands on Swagger. But if I have to fight you to get to him, I will. Before Del Rio could say anything, Booker T came out and said that he wanted a champions versus champions, is how he put it, match with Del Rio versus Intercontinental Champion Wade Barrett. And then Orton would get his wish. He would face Jack Swagger one-on-one later on. He did his "Can you dig that sucker?" And off we went. Sheamus was shown backstage before the commercial break. Good opening segment. It was still very paint by numbers, and SmackDown has been kind of relying on that house show sort of opening that, you know, you see in a lot of house shows where they come out, the main event guys will come out, or half the main event guys will come out and you know, set up the main event by having this talking segment or whatever. And SmackDown does that a lot, has done that a whole lot here recently, and I don't know if they feel like they get a better bang for their buck by doing that because of, you know, the tapings that go on prior or what. Sometimes it's really bad. I mean, sometimes it feels like about the house show level effort that you can sometimes get from guys. But this one I thought was really good. I thought Del Rio showed great emotion again. I thought that Orton looked good here. He is the master of the paint by number arc. I mean, that guy, his promos are almost interchangeable. You could swap out 85-90% of his promos from one feud to another, you'd never know. It's just, you know, the same thing over and over and over again, and just kind of plugs pieces in depending on who was wrestling. Here, he seemed frustrated and more of that, you know, I guess more of that Viper thing, feel that they want to get from him. He's pacing back and forth and, you know, trying to find his words. I liked what Orton did here. He showed some actual emotion and was plugged in. So I really liked this opening segment a lot and thought it set a good pace for the rest of the show. I, of course, skipped commercials, but Jake puts in his report that they advertised next week would be Social Media SmackDown, which, as he put it, basically sounds like SmackDown with lots of tweets and touts on the screen from WWE fans. That's pretty much what it sounds like to me, too. Sheamus made his ring entrance. Damian Sandow was out next. Sandow cut a promo on the way to the ring. He said that everybody was there tonight to witness the destruction of the false idol Sheamus. He said Sheamus had done nothing but drag the people further down into the bowels of their own ignorance, and his reign of terror would come to end tonight. He gave the "You're welcome" line, and that led to our first match of the night. And, of course, Sheamus defeats Damian Sandow in 13 minutes and a second. One commercial break in this. Very good match that both guys got in a ton of offense. Finish on this came. We got a missed bro kick from Sheamus. Sandow hit a low drop kick, and it looked like the match might go on, but Sheamus quickly recovered, hit White Noise, and then a bro kick for the win on this. You know, both guys looked very, very, very good. They both get all their offense. Sheamus showed a lot of ass for Sandow. Sandow drew good heat from the crowd, both with his promo and in the ring. I think the guy's got great talent. I realize this is not a world title gimmick necessarily. Certainly not. I mean, I won't say that this isn't a World Heavyweight Championship gimmick. It's the World Heavyweight Championship. WWE will put about anything with, you know, that belt on about anybody. So, but it's not WWE Championship level, so obviously he would have to change that up. But I think he can ride this gimmick for a while, and if you can get this over, I would think you'd be able to get a more mainstream and world title type gimmick over. So his future looks very, very bright. I'm not trying to push Sandow into the world title picture. I'm just saying that he has laid a great groundwork for whenever his first push starts. If they start him as a push as a heel, especially into a title picture, maybe an Intercontinental U.S. title sort of situation, I think he's got enough heat to carry that title and help some baby faces out. I really do. But, again, good match, one worth seeing. My third favorite match on the show. Again, the three very good matches that got good time. And this one is one worth seeing. But if you can only see one or two, this is my number three. So keep that in mind. We got a video of the WrestleMania press conference in New Orleans, the one where both R-Truth and Brodus Clay came out and danced. I'm a little bit embarrassed by that. It seemed so wildly out of place and random. I didn't get it. But we got matches, plug from the group, and then we got the Fandango vignette where he's dancing, he drops the woman in the dip, looks up and does the Fandango thing. Johnny Curtis is, Jake I think put it best last week or 2 weeks ago, Johnny Curtis is committed to being a strange character, and by God, he's meeting his commitment. There's no question about that. He is, that is what he wants to do. Quickly, one last thing about the Sheamus video, or the Sheamus match. They spent most of the match talking about Sheamus and the Shield, so I don't think there's any question that Sheamus is going to be involved with the Shield at WrestleMania. I still think Randy Orton gets there somehow, and possibly even Ryback. I think it might even lead to an Extreme Rules match where Ryback faces the Shield alone because he can't trust anybody. I think maybe Orton turns at Mania on Sheamus, so they lose the match again. The Shield gets a big WrestleMania win, and then Ryback asks for some sort of cage match or gauntlet match or something where he can beat up the Shield all by himself and not have to depend on anybody else and get a good win for him. There's a way they can do it without killing the Shield in the process. Like I said, make it some sort of gauntlet match or, you know, something. Extreme Rules, you can find a gimmick to protect the Shield. I really believe that. But at any rate, we led to our next match of the night. Layla and Caitlin defeating Tamina and Oksana at 4 minutes and a second. I read Jake's report before I watched the show just to kind of keep an eye out for certain things. And the one line in here, this is the one line that makes me hate that he's not here. Jake wrote in his his brief, "Wow, there was a lot of fake Tanner on the mat in the wake of this match." No shit. It was unbelievable. There was just smears of fake Tanner all over the mat. It was crazy. I'm the father of four girls, so back off by me being able to say this, but you know, you can see like makeup advertisements, how there's like a smear of makeup where they're showing the color. That's what it looked like, giant smears like that of just fake orange, peachy tan all over the ring. It was unbelievable. So I had to point that out because he saw it and it was pretty over the top. That said, not a bad Divas tag match. Layla and Caitlin won. Layla kind of held onto the belt at the end and gave it to Caitlin. It was like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, and kept staring at the belt. So it looks like Layla's going to be next. I like Layla a lot. If she's turning heel, I think she's going to be a better heel than she was a babyface. That wasn't her fault. They didn't give her a real character. As Jason Powell liked to say, her character was she likes to smile a lot. And she wears a knee brace. And that was about it. That was her character. And it looks like heels in the Divas division are the only ones that get any sort of character. And I think Layla can be a very good heel. She bumps around very well. And Caitlin needs somebody like that, somebody that can go into the ring with her and make her look like a million bucks. Especially if she's going to continue to get over. But Caitlin is carrying herself well. I think there's a possibility there for her. She's still as green as she can be. But I think the girls like her. I mean, we're hearing house show reports that the little girls are liking her a lot. And, I think she's got potential. I really do. If she can just find the right mix in the ring, continue to get better, get that ring time. I hope she's wrestling a ton on the house show circuit just so she can, because I think she's got the athleticism to be very, very good once she just gets some experience underneath her belt. We got the long, 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 long replay of Rock's win at the Elimination Chamber, the celebration with the band. They replayed every bit of it, the unveiling of the title, John Cena coming out, Punk hitting him with the belt and saying, "I want that one to Rock." Every bit of it was replayed. I still don't understand the purpose of that. Again, I let this pass on Main Event because Main Event is network television and not everybody has cable. It's a very small percentage, but it's still a percentage. And so I forgive this on Main Event, but on SmackDown, that's also on cable, and because Sci-Fi and USA are owned by the same company, you can believe they're on every single, you know, if you've got one, you've got the other. I just can't imagine there's a household that's got some sort of tier that has one and not the other. And I don't know of any a la carte pricing that exists yet in television. So, but at any rate, so spare me the emails if there's, you know, 12 houses. Wow, that's a small number. I don't get why they replay this and take it all up. It helps when you're watching on replay because you can skip a crap ton of this show, but I don't get it. Jack Swagger was backstage talking with Zeb Coulter. Wade Barrett walked up and said that he was happy with what they were doing. He said he agreed with them and that the problems they were talking about were the problems with his country. Coulter said, I'm sorry, Barrett, there's a misunderstanding. You don't sound like me. Where are you from? And Barrett said, I'm from England. He said, well, then you're part of the problem, too. You're over here taking a job from a real American. Jack Swagger gave him the We the People line, and Barrett kind of looked dejected, shook his head, and walked off. I really liked this because, look, I hate the xenophobic storylines. That's me. I didn't like them as a kid. I was actually talking with my wife before I started recording. I think that a lot of my problem with that comes from growing up around racists, too many of them, and being here in the South, and those people were just stupid to me. And so when I see these characters, I don't think, "Boo! I want to see that guy get beat up." I just think, "Wow, what a moron! Just go away." It's go away heat for me. But that's me. I understand that this is what they're doing with this is very good. But what I did like here was they kind of addressed the Latino thing. I like that because it does kind of push away from it being just, you know, this what the right wing press, what the conservative press is trying to make it out to be. Is it's not just a hating a Mexicans thing. It's just that the Mexican happens to be the champion. It's we don't like anybody that doesn't sound like us, and that's what wrestling kind of needs to do when they do this sort of thing is, you know, just like the foreign heel is like, okay, I just hate all Americans. And, maybe even put him with you take that guy, you put him with an American heel, and he still hates the American heel. That, you've got to, take it to its illogical conclusions where, you hate all foreigners and that sort of thing. So I like this. I realize it's a little bit pandering and it's a little bit hedging and saying, well, no, we're not, against Latinos alone, but it's also smart because they do have a huge Latino audience. That's what they're trying to build with the likes of Alberto Del Rio, with the likes of Sin Cara, even though he's been kind of a bust. That was the purpose in signing those guys and making Del Rio champion like he was. So, you don't want to alienate that crowd. You want to make it clear that this isn't, it's not real commentary. It's not, it's obvious, it should be obvious to the American fans that this is not real commentary. There are people that are like this that exist, but it's not a real commentary thing. They're not making an actual statement on illegal immigration. And this handles the other side of it with the Mexican audience or the Hispanic audience and says, it's not just brown people. It's a character that is illogical from start to finish, irrational, I guess is a better word, from start to finish. So yes, it's hedging and pandering some, but I also think it's a necessary hedge and a necessary pander, because it's not really pandering, if that makes sense. It's doing the right thing. It's not making this about race. It's being clear that it's not. Get that out of the way, and then you just go back to dealing with Del Rio because he's a foreigner, not because he's Hispanic. Randy Orton made his entrance after the commercial break. Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter were out next for our third match of the night. Jack Swagger defeating Randy Orton 17 minutes and 11 seconds. This is the match to see if you're going to watch only one from this show, 17 minutes. One commercial break in the middle of this one. Swagger looked very, very, very strong. Orton was, of course, fired up at the end for the RKO, but Coulter was standing there, pulled Swagger out to the apron, and then when Orton came over, he got a thumb to the eye from it because of it. Swagger hung him over the top rope and then rolled Orton up and used the ropes to cheat to get leverage for the win on the roll-up. Good finish. Coulter gets involved. That's what heels do. Yes, it's technically a cheap finish not a clean finish because of that. But Swagger doesn't need a clean finish necessarily over Randy Orton right now. They've got a lot of time to build the feud with him and Del Rio. He just needs to look credible in the ring. He did that here. Randy Orton was protected in the process. Coulter interfered, which will draw more heat on him as well. It's the right finish. It absolutely is. There are reasons to have dirty finishes, and this was one of them. So I really liked this match. Like I said, this is the one that you want to see if you're going to watch any of them. We got a video recap of the events from Monday with Paul Heyman and Vince McMahon. I could cuss about that all night. I got a trailer for Wade Barrett's moment in Dead Man Down, the new movie that's coming out with him in it. Wade Barrett got interviewed backstage, then Sheamus walked up. He insulted Barrett's acting, and Barrett popped back to him and asked whether he was having much fun with the Shield, beat him two nights in a row. He said he thought it was hilarious and walked away, and Sheamus was standing there pissed off. I actually don't even remember this. Maybe I skipped over this by mistake. I don't even remember this promo. It was kind of uneventful for me. Whatever it was, if it either played out and I missed it, it didn't do enough to catch my attention, which is bad. Or I skipped over it by mistake. Because I sure don't remember this. But wow, that's bizarre. I hope I skipped over it by mistake and didn't realize it as I was fast forwarding. But anyway, let's move forward. From there, Cody Rhodes and Miz were our fourth match of the night. Miz defeats Cody Rhodes, 3:55. Bad match. We got it, and I don't see the video here on Jake's report. I had forgotten from earlier. But Cody was walking around backstage and ran into Caitlin. And Caitlin said that, say what you will. This was actually before the Divas match. Say what you will. People like to pick, but she liked his mustache. Cody said that some of the women were calling it a love stash. They had an uncomfortable moment of silence and walked away from each other. Really cute moment. I thought it was well done. It made me laugh. It was kind of random, but so what? But then Cody made his entrance for this match, they did one of those cut-in promos, the picture-in-picture promos, and he gave the line again. He goes, "My mustache has gained a level of a popularity to the point to where the women are calling it a love stash." And it kind of killed it, you know? It was too much of a good thing. The moment with Caitlin was just awkward as it could be and uncomfortable and fun for that reason. This seemed a little unnecessary. And then he got the picture-in-picture promo only to get beat by Miz with that shitty-ass figure four that the Miz uses. I don't know what is wrong with his figure four. I've looked at it and looked at it and looked at it. And it looks like it's on right, but it looks so weak. I don't understand why it looks so weak. Every time I saw Flair put it on, I saw Dusty put it on Flair to get that sort of heat. Anytime I saw those guys do it, it looked like it hurt like hell. And with Miz, it just doesn't look that way. I don't know. It's frustrating to see him put it on. I can't figure out what it is, but not a good win for him here. Cody is, marginal at best as far as meaning, and then he beat him with that weak figure four. Miz's babyface character is not very good. I don't like this. I don't know. It wasn't a very good match. It wasn't a very entertaining match, and both of these guys are floundering really bad right now. From there, we got the YouTube video that has been out. I think it's We the People Zeb is the new YouTube channel that WWE has registered, and they're putting up these videos of Coulter and Swagger. If you've seen the Glenn Beck response video, you now know that they're not in front of an actual fence. It's a green screen, and they do these videos. This one was about immigration. There's more coming up. So, Jake says in his brief that, he wants Coulter and Swagger to evolve more than just what it is or what they've been, because this one was about immigration, which is all they've been talking about. But there are other videos, and they're nuanced enough, I think, that it's not the same thing over and over and over again. So, but not bad. So check out that video. They're, of course, claiming that, wealth's being robbed by immigrants searching for a handout for their carloads of kids. They're robbing the country of its productivity and soul. They claim to be generous. People want a handout. They would buy them one-way ticket to go back to wherever they came from. A lot of that is kind of going on. You need to leave, and we'll make you leave, is the kind of the theme of what all the other videos are. After commercial break, Wade Barrett's out, and then Del Rio was out next. Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter made their entrance and stood on the ramp for the first early part of this match, our fifth and final match of the night, Alberto Del Rio defeating Wade Barrett 12:47. Another good match, my number two match of the night. So again, 1, 2, 3, quickly, Randy Orton versus Jack Swagger. Number 2, Del Rio versus Barrett. Number 3, Sheamus versus Damian Sandow. That's the order. If you're limited on time, I think you should check these out. But that's just my opinion. You may like one better than me. But at any rate, we got the finish on this game. Swagger and Coulter stood on the ramp for the vast majority of this. Towards the end, you got Del Rio was in charge, but Swagger came down, walking down the ramp, shouting, "We the people, we the people, we the people." That had Del Rio distracted. I believe he was going for the cross arm breaker at the time. Del Rio was distracted by that. Barrett rolled him up for a quick two count, slammed him down, and then set up for the bull hammer. But Del Rio ducked it, grabbed the arm, and then finally hooked the cross arm breaker at that point. And Barrett tapped out for the victory there. Swagger stayed from the ring. He and Del Rio had a big stare down moment. I liked it a lot. Again, very good match. Both these guys looked great. Barrett looked really good in defeat. You know, he was swinging the elbow. You get Del Rio ducking, grabbing the arm, twisting down. It was you know, not a breathtaking, but a well done finish, and very effective in how they got there. Everybody looked good in this match. We get the foundation is still being laid for Del Rio and Swagger on some level. They're not building a whole lot right now, but they're certainly doing what they need to do to get everything ready to go for that. And a good SmackDown overall. Again, a well-wrestled SmackDown. If you're into wrestling shows, then this is the one for you. And again, if you can only see one match, check out Randy Orton versus Jack Swagger. Both guys look very good there. It's the only one with the dirty finish. All the other two, or the other two, have clean finishes. And yes, I'm picking the one with the dirty finish, but it was the best match. It really was, in my opinion. So check that one out. Another good show. And again, a stall moment from WWE at this point. It was good wrestling-wise. From a progressing storylines point of view, not so great. But they gave you something to balance that with the great wrestling. So Jake will be back next week, I hope, barring having to be called into work again. He will be back with me next week. We will talk about this show. And again, if you want to get access to all the audio, and oh, of course, I forgot to mention, besides all that audio you get each week, 6 to 7 hours generally of audio each and every week, sometimes even more than that. I know I have some interviews coming up very soon that I'm going to get plugged in. I've had some scheduling problems, but most of those have been on my end, so I do believe I'll be able to get these interviews some of the your bigger names on the indie scene very soon. I'll be having those soon, so if you want to get access to all of those, don't forget you also get access to the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum, and the .NET member blog section. So sign up to be a .NET member, folks. Head on over to ProWrestling.net, right-hand side of the page there. $5.50 a month when you click on that .NET member sign-up link. Jake and I will be back next week. That one will be free as always, but Jason Powell will have a review Monday night of WWE Raw as Vince McMahon comes back to fight Paul Heyman. And then, of course, in the main event, CM Punk versus John Cena with a winner supposedly going to face The Rock. Expecting more shenanigans there and possibly an Undertaker return. If he's going to be there, this is the next opportunity for them. We'll find out Monday night. Jason will review that for our members, so make sure you sign up. Thank you guys so much for listening and for supporting the .NET site. My name is Chris Shore. I'll be back here next week with Jake Barnett. And until then, everyone, have a great weekend. Check out PWX on HighSpots.tv, and take care.